were talking about calling out hypocrites. I know this was written 2,000 years ago. I know the hypocrites were Pharisees. Sadducees weren't hypocrites in a sense because they didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in eternal life. They didn't believe anything. So they were simply living out what they said. The Pharisees did believe in angels, did believe in eternal life, did believe in salvation, and they weren't living out what they said. And the reason I want to bring this message today is because there are still hypocrites among us. And we have to examine our own hearts. Because from time to time, guess who the hypocrite is? It's the guy that I'm looking at in the mirror. And so we have today to acknowledge that it's not just back then that people didn't live what they said they believed. It's still today. So if you'll stand with me, we'll honor God as we read Matthew 23, starting in verse 1. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must be careful to do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for people to see. They make their plectries wide and the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at the banquets and the most important seats at the synagogue. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Woe unto you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. So what the Lord wants us to do is realize that from time to time, all of us might fit that particular description. So, Father, today as we look at this, help us not to just study about the Pharisees and their hypocrisy, but to look carefully into our own hearts. Because, Lord, you could be speaking to many of us today, and we need to hear it. And we'll give you the praise in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. What person can you think of that more than any other you would not like to get on their bad side? When I was a little boy, it wasn't my mom, because my mom would scold us and she'd say, "You just wait till your dad gets home." I didn't want to be on my dad's bad side because he didn't have any trouble at all taking off a belt and using it on the seat of understanding. I really had respect for my dad and my mom too, but really respected my dad, and I never wanted to get on his bad side. Can you imagine being on the bad side of Jesus Christ when it comes Judgment Day? Do you know that every day is Judgment Day? There's going to be a final judgment, but every day things happen to us that come right from the Lord, and they're not all pleasant. Jesus had a confrontation, the reading we just did there in Matthew 13. He had a confrontation with a group of people called Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees were the most strict observers of the law, but they went way beyond the law. They made laws upon laws, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But when you think of our Lord Jesus, do you think of somebody like my mother that would say, "You just wait till your dad gets home"? Or do you think of somebody that can mete out the punishment themselves? We're talking about sometimes Jesus sees red. Because when we get angry, science has proven now that if there's a blue color and a red color, when you're really angry, you're going to see both almost red. It makes a difference in the way your mind works and operates. Jesus got hot. We don't normally think of our Lord really going after somebody, but this is the greatest tongue lashing Jesus ever gave to anybody. And because of what he called the Pharisees and what he said about them, he's going to die. They're going to put him to death. They have a lot of power in the kingdom. But nothing made Jesus angrier than hypocrisy. A hypocrite is somebody who indicates that they believe one thing, but they live an entirely different thing. A lot of hypocrites in this world. And from time to time, like I said, I see myself doing the same thing, and I have to say, wait a minute, this isn't going to sell. I better confess this quickly because my Lord can come down on me just as much as he came down on these Pharisees. It's amazing what made our Lord hot and what didn't make him hot. I want you to think with me just for a few minutes about some of the things that happened in Jesus' life that really didn't make him hot. It hurt him. I mean, it was painful, but he never got hot. When Judas betrayed Jesus, did Jesus get angry with Judas and holler and scream and shout, call him names? Nothing. When Peter denied the Lord three times, all the Bible says is Jesus looked at Peter, and I'm sure the look was, I told you. Jesus told him three times, you're going to deny me before the rooster crows. I never will. And all the others said the same thing. Peter even said, if I have to die with you, I'll never deny you. But he did. All Jesus did was look at him with sad eyes because it's a sad thing. When the disciples turned tail, all the 11 said, we never will either. But they all did. Jesus didn't get angry. It's amazing. When Pontius Pilate sold him out, Pontius Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. But he turned around and let him crucify him. You see, as a government authority, whether you know it or not, we look at government authorities today doing all kinds of crazy things and we say, boy, they're getting away with it. No, they're not. One of these days, they're going to give an accounting. The Bible says that God puts people in positions of authority, and they are to use that authority for God's glory. If they don't, they're going to be sad that they were in office. Being an office holder takes a terrible responsibility, and if you don't live up to it, I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. When the Roman soldiers beat Jesus with a rod, when they stripped him of his clothing and mocked him and spit in his face, Jesus didn't say anything wrong. He didn't say he didn't get angry because it was prophesied that had to happen. When the religious Sabbath keepers started to talk but didn't walk the walk, that made him hot. Do you know that as a dad or mom, when you talk the talk to your children but you don't walk the walk and your children see it, that makes Jesus hot? Folks, your children need to see a consistent Christian life. And many times, dads talk one thing and moms talk one thing, but they live something entirely different. That Christmas show that comes on every year, the Christmas story, the dad or the mother is telling her children they shouldn't swear. Where did the little boy learn to swear? It was dad. I was the same way. I knew every swear word there was by the time I was five. I was a hero at school because I not only knew the words, but I knew what they meant. That was pretty exciting for the kids. Where did I learn it? I learned it from my dad. I would have never told my dad that's where I learned it because he would have killed me. But that was it. And when you tell your children you shouldn't swear, you shouldn't smoke, you shouldn't gamble, you shouldn't get drunk, but then you do it. That, my friends, is hypocrisy. And we have to be able to identify that in our own selves and say what I'm saying is not what I'm living. The Pharisees had never had anyone talk to them the way Jesus did. I don't know if you know it or not. That was Jesus' last message. That's the last time he preached anything before they killed him. And he was preaching with a hot temper, with fire burning in his eyes, and with his temple bursting out. He was hot, hot, hot. He called them some names. And we think, well, Jesus did never call anybody names. I want you to think of the names that he called them. He said, you're hypocrites. He said, you're the children of hell. He said, you're blind guides, you're fools, you're robbers, you're whitewashed tombs, you're snakes, vipers, and murderers. And the sad thing for the Pharisees, it was true. They were all that and more. They thought they were the best. People honored them because they were so religious. They kept the law to the smallest T and the little jots. They did it all. Today we would call people like that counterfeit Christians because they said they were keeping it all, but they weren't. How many people does the Bible say ever kept the law perfectly? One. Jesus fulfilled the law. One man did it. Everybody else is, I can't tell you how many people I've witnessed to over the years that I'll say, do you know you're going to heaven? And they'll say, well, I try to keep the law. Folks, the Bible says very clearly, the law has never perfected anybody because we all fall short. There are no perfect law keepers. The chapter reminds us, the sermon, again, it's the last public sermon, but he called out hypocritical holiness. Today, we would call it counterfeit Christianity. When I was attending Trinity Baptist in St. Charles, we had a young man there. He was a believer, but he worked for a place where they were putting up solar panels. And the people would come into that business, and it was a pretty good-sized place that was Pashonik's old car's place, but it was pretty good size. And people would come in and ask the owner, not the young man that went to church with us, but they'd ask the owner, are you heating this whole place with solar? And he'd say, oh, yeah, that's what we heat it with. And all the while in the back room, he had a wood stove going. Folks, that's what we would call hypocrisy. He wanted to sell his stuff, but he was willing to lie in order to do it. That's what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus said there are three things that you and I need to do to identify hypocrisies, not just in others, but in ourselves too. How to deal with it and how to get rid of it. So number one, recognizing the core of a counterfeit. Can you tell who's a counterfeit Christian and who's not? Do you know enough about the Word of God and the person of God to say that person talks a good talk, but they're not living what they're saying? Because the Bible says this whole world's full of counterfeits, and you better be able to know how to identify them. Jesus is primarily talking to the crowds and his disciples about the Pharisees, and this is what he said in Matthew 23:1. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. What did that mean? That meant Moses was the lawgiver, and the Pharisees, believe it or not, were the most faithful teachers of the law. Jesus respected authority. All authority is given by God. Some people use their authority very well, some people not so well. But if you're a parent, do you realize that authority has been given you by God? There are people that would love to have children just like you have, but they can't. God has granted you the authority to be a mom or a dad. How you use that, you're going to give an account for. How you use that is either going to bless or curse your children. You don't want to be a hypocrite as a parent. Let your children see your vulnerability. Let them know that dad and mom don't always do what's right. I had to apologize to my kids many times because I overreacted. You have to admit that. They need to know that you're human too. But it's important. Jesus recognized the seat that the Pharisees sat in. Now, he didn't say everything they did was right, but he did say they sit in Moses' seat. You have to respect that. When you go to college, if you do, you may not really appreciate your professor. You may say, my professor doesn't know what he's doing or talking about, but he sits in a seat of authority. If he's a full professor, what that school is saying about that person is that they are the most knowledgeable person in our whole school on that topic. Now, they may not be, And the topic may be underwater basket weaving, but regardless, they have a title and an authority, and they can flunk you out of school if they so choose. So we have to give them the right, just like a policeman. When you disrespect the policeman, he stops you at a stop. You're speeding, and he stops you, and you start to argue and fight with him. We have some terrible outcomes from that. He has the authority of the law. We have to submit. When an officer comes to your car, what do you say? What'd you stop me for? Or do you say, sir, what can I do to help? You better show respect because it's important. We have to do that. The Pharisees never missed a Sabbath. They kept the Sabbath to the T. Everything they did was done to show people that they respected Moses' law and they kept Moses' law. Although they failed, just like everybody else, they didn't want you to know that. Outside, they had every indication that they were close to God, that they were submissive to God, that they were obedient to God. But in their hearts was a different story. And Jesus made that ever so clear. He said in Matthew 23, verse 3, "So you must be careful to do everything they tell you." Folks, if somebody's telling you a truth of God's word, you may not even like the person. But if they're telling you the truth of God's word, you need to submit to it because what? Because it's God's word. But he said, "Do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach." Folks, this is the important part for today's message. On the one hand, the Pharisees did teach the truth. But on the other hand, they didn't live the truth. What do you do in a situation like that? What Jesus tells us is, obey the truth they're teaching you, but don't live the way they live. Determine there's two different things here going on. They took the Ten Commandments and they took the rest of the law, and the Pharisees actually expanded that way out. We start out, the Bible tells us, that they had clues to counterfeit Christianity. Again, in Matthew 23, 3, we're going to look at the clues so you can identify it. So you must be careful to do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. It's kind of like the gossip that's gossiping to you about the gossips and telling you how wrong they are to be gossiping so much. Or the man who's really cutting down a guy who committed adultery on his wife, and then every night he rushes home to watch pornography on his television or computer. Folks, that's what these people were. In Matthew 23, 4, he goes on and talks about them. He says, they tie heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. When the Pharisees started out, they were a very religious, a very God-fearing people, because the Pharisees had been in existence for about 300 years when Jesus came on the scene. Started out right, but they made a few fatal errors. Number one, as they studied the scriptures, they realized there were 248 commands found in the Old Testament. There were 365 prohibitions. And so they decided they were going to help God. Folks, God, I hate to say this, but God doesn't need your help. Stick with what he says. They took those 248 commandments and 365 prohibitions, and they began to expand it out to 1,500 additions to the law. So now instead of 365, you've got about 1,800. That wasn't enough for them. They put that in a book known as the Mishnah. So it wasn't enough, so they began to add rules to the rules. In other words, here's the 248 things God has commanded and the 365 prohibitions, but now we've made up 1,500 more, but that isn't enough because we want you to be careful never to break the law. So they made up another book called the Jerma, and in the Jerma, they added more rules to redefine the rules that they had made above and beyond what God said so that people wouldn't sin. But they didn't keep the law themselves. This is what you had to do. And if you fail to do it, they were really on you. Folks, the Lord does not want that. He wants us to know what his word says is right and what his word says is wrong and leave it there. God doesn't need more rules. And when I first became a Christian, went to a church, a wonderful Christian church, but you couldn't go to the movies. There were certain music you should never listen to. You never drank alcohol. You never played cards. And all those are what? They're man-made rules. I remember I wanted to take my kids and go and see Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs at the movie. So I talked to my pastor about it, and he says, no, you should never go to the movies, period. And then a few weeks went by, and I heard that he was watching Policewoman on television. Or not Policewoman, what was her name? Angie Dickinson, anyway, I can't remember the show. But I thought, wait a minute. I can't take my kids to Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, but you can watch that show, something's wrong. I love Pastor Williams, please don't get me wrong. He's one of the greatest men I ever served with or served under. But he got caught a little bit in the man-made rules. Folks, don't let somebody add to the Word of God because it won't help you. It's going to hinder you. I know he meant well. And when the church came out in Prohibition, back when they stopped all alcohol sales, you couldn't sell, they meant well. I don't drink. I don't believe drinking is wise for me because it takes me about 3 beers and I'm totally gone. But to say to somebody else, you can't drink at all. Now, I can say with all authority, you should not get drunk. If you're getting drunk and you're getting hooked on it, you're heading for trouble. But to say that it's sin to have a sip of beer or wine, I can't say that. I'm adding to God's word. We have to preach what God says, not what we want. And if you're going to preach it, you better be living it every second because people are watching. They want to know. Children are watching parents all the time. You shouldn't lie. And then because you got a financial deal going, they're standing right there beside you and they hear you lie and they know that mom or dad just told a lie. Folks, you're heading for trouble. You're going to have trouble with your kids. If anybody wonders how holy and righteous they are and put on a show for others, God calls them hypocrites. In Matthew 23, verse 5, Jesus said about the Pharisees, everything they do is done for people to see. They make their plectries wide and the tassels on their garments long. They want the attention of people. And so they dress today, I would say, and again, if you go to a church where this is going on, I don't have a problem with it. I just think it's kind of strange to see a pastor get up with a robe on and big collars and all kinds of stuff. Folks, do you understand that guy's just as much a sinner as you are? There are no special people with God. I'm not against somebody doing it, but I never wanted to do that. I'm just like everybody else. I'm doing the best I can, but I fail too. We don't want to put on a show. At my brother's church in Saginaw, the pastor said, when I'm up on the pulpit speaking, I always speak the truth. And so my brother said, well, what does that mean when you're not on the pulpit? What are you speaking? Folks, we should be the same here as we are any place in life. And often we're not. For centuries, the literalists, legalists, they commanded a literal law which built, made them try to look good in front of people. Folks, what we are concerned about as Christians is how do we look to our Heavenly Father? What other people think is immaterial. There's going to come a time in a few more years, I'm not going to be around any of you unless you're in heaven, and then I may see you, but I'm not concerned. I hope you think well of me, but that's not my major concern. My major concern is what does God think of me? Does he look at me and see a hypocrite? Or does he look at me and see a person that's really trying to live out what he's commanded? Folks, this is important. Jesus continues in Matthew 23, 6. He says, they love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplace and to be called rabbi by others. Folks, this is important. Do you like first place all the time in everything? Folks, none of us should be first place all the time in everything. If it's your birthday, that's a special day. If it's your anniversary, that's a special deal. But there are days that it's somebody else's birthday. Do you make as big a deal for them? It's somebody else's anniversary. Are you happy for them? Or is it just all about you? The hypocrite, believe it or not, it's all about that person. It's all about the show. He said, don't call anybody rabbi. Now, a lot of pastors today like to be called Dr. So-and-so. The word doctor comes from the word dos, which means to teach, and it gives us our English word doctor. When you see a pastor and in front of his name is Right Reverend this word and that word and that word, Jerry Larkin. Something's wrong, folks. We don't need all that stuff. We're just humans. When we try to impress people with all the different things that we know and all the different studies we've done, be careful with that. That's not God's plan. In Matthew 28, verse 8, he says, you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you're all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. Nor should you be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. Now, some of you in this church have heard a few people call me father, and I've tried to correct that. I really have. Many times, but some people have it so wrapped up in them that whoever's the leader is father, that after about the fifth time, you just kind of let it go. I try every so often to remind them, no, I'm not a holy father. I'm just a man, just like you. I'm a pastor, but even that is just a servant. That's all a pastor is. He cares for the sheep. So we want to be careful with it. But you don't want to go to the extreme where you say, you can't call anybody father. Folks, there's a balance in this thing. You know, you try to be gentle, try to teach. Over time, they'll catch it and everything will be well. But if you hear that from somebody, don't jump on them with hobnail boots. They've heard that all their life, maybe. Maybe they were five when they started going with mom and dad to a church that called the pastor or the priest father. And now they're 70, 80 years old. Do you think they're going to turn like that? It isn't going to happen. It's going to take a while. So be patient with it. The cure. Jesus ends up this sermon with one more positive word, and then he goes back to the negative. In Matthew 23:11, Jesus says, the greatest among you will be your servant. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And so what the Lord is saying is, if he's giving you a position of leadership in a local church, let's say you're the pastor or a deacon or a deaconess elder lady in the church, what's the job? Is the job to get attention, and the job is always to have people pay attention to you and everything revolves around you? Or is the job to be a servant, to meet the needs of the people that you're there to help? In many churches, it's all about the pastor. It's all about the deacons. It's all about the elder ladies. They have to have the best of the best and the richest of the rich. Folks, if you have a pastor or an elder board that are living in $3, $4, $5 million houses, and it's all coming from the church, you've got a problem. And there are people like that today. There are pastors that are extremely, extremely rich. And I hate to even say it, but it's true. They're fleecing the flock. It's all about the wool that I can get from you. It's not about service. Jesus is saying very simply that the one who leads is to be the servant of the people. If they're not, you're going to a hypocrite's church. Be careful with this thing. In Matthew 23, verse 13, back to the negative. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. What he's saying here very clearly is that not only don't these people seek the kingdom of God, they're seeking their own self-righteousness. They're not interested in grace. They love law. I don't know about you, but I'll take grace over law anytime. Grace is God's unmerited favor. There's nothing I can do to earn it. There's nothing I can do to be worthy of it. I simply, in faith, receive it. I'll take that anytime over law. Law demands you must. And the simple truth of the matter is, guess what? We can't. We can't keep it. Not perfectly. And in James 2:10, it's not in the notes, but James 2:10 says, if you keep the entire law and you offend in one point, you're guilty of how much? All of it. There's no use seeking after the law. There's no use looking for one more rule. We've got plenty of rules. Even today, there are hundreds and hundreds of commands in the New Testament that we as Christians ought to be doing. But we don't, not all the time. Every single one of us falls short, and I'm glad for grace. Instead of looking to the Lord for mercy, they made demands on the people. You must keep this. But they themselves wouldn't even keep all these additional laws. And they themselves couldn't keep even the Ten Commandments. If you want an exciting adventure sometime, for one day determine in your heart you're going to keep the Ten Commandments, just the ten. We said there's 248 commands and 365 different laws. Just focus on the ten. And for one day, absolutely all day long, you're going to do everything perfectly on those ten. You won't make it. I mentioned before, it took me 15 minutes. And the Holy Spirit said, that's it. That's what I'm talking about. Folks, we are not perfect yet. You know, the one who brought this up in Matthew, 28 times in that, he mentions the Pharisees in the book of Matthew. Do you know why Matthew was so upset with the Pharisees? Because Matthew was a tax collector. And the Pharisees had made the tax collectors the most vile of all people on the earth. They were hated by the Pharisees because the Romans ruled, and these Jewish men, Matthew was one of them, took up taxes for Rome. He took up taxes from his own people, gave the money to the Romans, and profited off some of that business. And they were hated, and the Pharisees hated him. A poet wrote these very poignant words. It is all vain to preach the truth to the eager ears of the trusting youth. If whatever the lad is standing by, he sees you cheat and he hears you lie. The Pharisees were preaching something they were not keeping. And the people were disgruntled. You get to the point when there's so many rules that people will say there's so many rules, fooey to you and fooey to God. Because I can't. And the truth of the matter is you can't either. We were not made for all the rules. The rules go by the side. We try to do what's right, but we fail. But grace comes to the forefront. Anytime you're willing to confess your sin, what promise do you have? God is faithful and just. He will forgive your sin, and he'll cleanse you of all unrighteousness. He'll help you do right. Folks, it's so important we understand the message here, because sometimes we look in the mirror and we find out we ourselves are just like the Pharisees. Some of you remember the Indian philosopher Gandhi. Gandhi said, I like your Christ. I just do not like your Christians, because your Christians are so unlike Christ. Do you realize in Gandhi's lifetime that the English army went into India and conquered it in the name of Christ? They killed thousands and thousands and thousands of people to do the same exact thing that Russia's doing now in Ukraine. Christians, in the name of Christ, have done so many things so wrong. Folks, that's true of us, isn't it, sometimes? In the name of Christ, we do things that are not right. And people look at us and we're hindering them from coming to the kingdom of God because they're not seeing us live out what we claim to believe. The atheist Mark Twain, and some of you remember some of his writings, he said, if Christ were here, there's one thing he would not be, a Christian. And that's not because there's anything wrong with being a Christian. It's just that so few Christians really live out what they say they believe. And so Mark Twain said the same thing. Let me ask you today, if you're a follower of Christ, are people being turned away from walking with Christ because they're watching you? Or do they look at your life and say, man, that guy or that gal is so filled with love and so filled with joy, I want what they got. I understand they're not perfect, but they're living out the character of Jesus Christ. Are you drawing people to Christ, or are you driving people away from Christ? The Pharisees were hypocrites, and they were driving others away. They wouldn't enter the kingdom of God. John the Baptist told them the way. He said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But they wouldn't believe. And they wouldn't let anybody else believe either, because anybody that talked about Jesus were driven out of the synagogues. They hated the notion that anybody could come to God without going through them. Folks, if you have a pastor, if you have a priest that tells you the only way to heaven is through what they teach and what they believe, you're heading for that same situation. Don't let a pastor or a priest or anyone else stand in your way of coming to Christ. There are churches today in our nation that are preaching, you need to believe in Christ, and then you need to do what we tell you to do, or you can't get to heaven. Folks, if you believe in Christ, what's the promise? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Regardless of anything else, if you've trusted in Christ, you now have all your sins forgiven for all eternity. You're God's son or daughter. Are you going to be perfect? No, not in this lifetime. Don't get caught up in that kind of folly. And don't let somebody hinder you from walking with Christ. Father, we're grateful for your word. We're grateful, Lord, that our Lord got hot sometimes, because we get hot sometimes, Lord. When I hear people telling people that their best life now, if they'll just send in the money, boy, we can all have a great time. Father, that's not your word. Your word is that the money we send in is to be used for your gospel, not to enrich or aggrandize somebody's life. Give us discernment, that we can tell who's trying to walk with you and who's trying to get people to walk with them. And Father, we're going to give you the praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen.